Anyway, hey, I am so excited about the message today. This is a good message. You woke up and God's going to bless you for your sacrifice, giving up your hour and getting here on time. Amen. He's at least going to bless me preaching this. This is a good thing. Man, oh man, I appreciate Jeff's words about, you know, just proclaiming it. It is well. It is well. Regardless of how I feel, it is well. I am going to heaven. God's taking care of me. He's forgiven me of all my sins. I've got a right relationship with Him. Amen. It is well. Say that with me. It is well. Amen. What are you eating over there? You going to share that? Oh, okay. No, I thought you were eating something. Okay. All right. Granola bar. Okay. Don't eat it all. I'm going to get hungry here in a minute. Anyway. It is well, regardless of how we feel, regardless of what circumstances may be going on in our life, friend, it is well with our soul because of what Jesus has done on the cross, because our faith is in Him, because He rose from the dead, and we are victorious in Him. We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen? We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So it is well. Woo! You proclaim it. Listen, here's the deal. Whatever's in your heart is going to come out where? Where's it going to come out? Right here, right? It's going to come out here. So get that deep, what Jeff has said there, get that scripture deep in your heart. He is going to restore my soul, and it is well with my soul. So that's a whole lot about what I'm going to be talking concerning today about this, the power of words. This is a three-part message. I preached the first part a couple of weeks ago on just the power of words and how we saw, you know, God brought order and light to chaos and darkness with His words. And that's what we do with our words, amen? We bring order and light. That's what our words ought to do. They ought to bring order and light, not chaos and darkness. Jesus spoke words when He cast out demons, when He healed people. He could have just, again, waved His hand. He didn't. He spoke words. Be gone. Be healed. Little girl, get up. And usually they were very dogmatic. They were emphatic imperatives. Satan speaks words. He's the accuser. He's the defamer. And he uses those words to try to destroy us and to discourage us. We are to speak faith-filled words. What does Proverbs 18 say? Y'all say with me, as I said a couple of weeks ago, it's an easy verse to remember. Life and death are in the power of the what? Tongue. Say it with me. Life and death are in the power. We know that to be true, both good and bad. And then Alyssa got up and she spoke about the power of other people's words in our lives and how we don't need to give space in our minds to words of people who are always kind of detracting. We need to make sure that that space is given to people who build us up, who even correct us, tell us when we're wrong, but they're doing it out of love. Words. So today we're going to talk about faith-filled words. I don't have any slides, so let me give you the big idea. If you're taking notes, here's the big idea. By proclaiming God's will, we change this world to become like His world. By proclaiming God's will, we change this world to become like His world. We bring heaven to earth, on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're doing with our words. James 5:16. Most of you know that, 16 and 17. You know that passage. And look, we're going to look at a whole bunch of passages. So if you're taking notes, good luck. I'll try to get these up on the website so that you can look at them later. But James 5:16 says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." The earnest prayer, what's a prayer? A proclamation with their words. The earnest proclamation of words. An intercession of a righteous person has great power, say power, and produces wonderful results, say results. That's what your words do. That's the earnest prayer of a righteous person, of a person who's right with God, but also living a right kind of life. So, the message is entitled Faith-Filled Words. You have the big idea. There are three points to the message. Let me give you the three points right off the bat, okay? To have faith-filled words, here's the three things you need to do. Number one, know your position. Know your position. Secondly, exercise your authority. exercise your authority. And then thirdly, proclaim God's will. Proclaim God's will. So we begin with know your position. Now here's what I want you to do. Point down to your cushion, okay? Just point down to your cushion, okay? Point down to your cushion. Are you touching it right there? Say with me, know your position. Say that. Know your position. You know, games, sports, and even warfare is won and lost oftentimes by whether or not a person will stay in their position. I mean, how many football games, basketball games, you name it, have been won because a person stayed in their position? They didn't move. They didn't get faked out. They stayed where they were supposed to stay. They ran the route they were supposed to run. They threw the ball where they were supposed to throw it. Whatever. They stayed in their position. And how many of those games have been lost because the person who was supposed to be in a particular position got faked out, got caught up into a play or whatever? Even in warfare, how a general or a person, instead of taking his troops where they were supposed to go, he got faked out, he got sucked in, and then he was defeated. But also when they stayed in their position, exactly what they were supposed to do, and they won. They turned the tide of the war. Think about Gettysburg and some of the strategic things that happened there. When men stayed exactly where they were supposed to stay, when it looked like they were going to get overrun, but they stayed right there. And it turned the tide of the war. And things forever changed for this nation because a person, a group, a small band of brothers stayed in their position. So know your position. Know your position. What is your position? I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on these first 2 points because I've preached about this stuff over the years, and it's the last point that I want to spend more time on. When it comes to faith-filled words, you have to know your position. Know and operate in your position in Jesus Christ. When you say those words, when you pray, when you intercede, you better be, you're praying from this particular position. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17 says, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba." We call him Father. "For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs." Say, "I'm an heir of God." Woo, that's good. Know your position. Your position, what is your position? I'm an heir of God. I'm a child of God. And then what does other passages say? Again, if you want to look at Romans chapter 8, verses 29 through 31 says, "What shall we say about such things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Amen? He is for us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6 says this, "But God is so rich in his mercy, he has loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ." And here's what he did. Here's your position. Here it is right now. Your position is you are seated with him in the heavenly realms. Now, today, regardless of how you feel, it is well with your soul because you are seated with him. I don't understand how that happens, but that's what he said. He says, like, one day you're going to be seated with him. When you die and you go to heaven, then you'll be seated with him. He says, today, right now, whether I feel it or not, I am seated with him in heavenly places. That's your position. Friend, when you pray, you don't have to pray these old whiny prayers. "Oh, God, would you please? Oh, God, will you hear me? Oh, God, would you do something?" Stop it. Don't pray like that. He knows you. You're his child. You're seated right next to him. You don't have to yell. You don't have to scream. You don't have to beg. He hears your prayer because you're right there next to him. Can I hear an amen? Come on, get fired up. This is good. Know your position. Point down to that seat right now. Point down to that and say, know your position. Second one. Second point. Exercise your authority. Exercise. I got a thing with that too. Go like this. Come on, right here. What are we doing? Come on. What are we doing? Bicep curls. Come on, we're making big biceps. So yeah, exercise your authority. Say that with me. Exercise. You know your position. You exercise your authority. Because of the blood of Jesus, I have authority here on earth. Amen. I've got authority. I've got authority. He has given us authority. Jesus said, look, in Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20, before his death, burial, and resurrection, you know, Satan tempted him. He said, I will give you authority over this world. I'll give it to you if you'll just bow the knee to me. Of course, Jesus did not do that. But after his death, his burial, and his resurrection, what did he say in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, 20? He says, all authority is what? Is mine in heaven and what? And on earth. It's mine. I have authority now. And guess who's he's given that authority to? He's given that authority to us. Amen. He's given up. We're his ambassadors. We're his children. The authority now belongs to us. We have authority in this life. I love what chapter 2 says. It talks about, let me see if I can find it here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 through 15 says, you were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature, was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive in Christ, for he forgave all your sins. Now here's where, listen to the authority. He canceled the record of the charges against you. And I'm personalizing this. He took them away by nailing them to the cross. And in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He disarmed Satan. He disarmed the demons that follow him. He disarmed them, and not only did he disarm them, which means what? We got power over them, amen? Luke chapter 10, he says, look, I saw Satan thrown from heaven, and I've given you authority over Satan and his demons, amen? We exercise our authority. He says, he continues, he says, in this way he disarmed those spiritual rulers and authority, and not only that, he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. He not only beat them, but he shamed them. He embarrassed them. Woo, I like that. He has given us authority. Now, why do I tell you this? I'm telling you this because When you pray, you pray with authority. You pray because you know your position. I'm a child of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, I can come boldly to the throne of grace. I don't come in with, oh God, I'm such an awful, worthy, terrible person. I'm so sinful. I'm so terrible. Would you quit praying like that? If you don't know the Lord, you pray like that. But if you know the Lord, you go into him and you say, Father, I'm your son. Thank you for hearing me today. You don't walk in groveling. Some people think they get more points with God by groveling. No, you're a child, you're a joint heir. And then when you come against the work of the evil one, as you see it, you take authority over it. You don't accept it. You don't just let it happen, but you take authority over it. We don't have to accept things as they are. We can change the trajectory of our life and the lives of others, even the life of the community, with our words when we take authority. Listen to me, folks. China is about to become the largest Christian nation in the world. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Woo, that's good news. Would anybody have said that 40 years ago? No way. That ain't going to happen. Would we have said 40 years ago communism is going to fall without a war? Doubtfully, most of us thought if it's going to fall, it's going to fall because of World War III. How did communism fall? How did China become the largest Christian nation? Let me tell you, folks, by words. By Christians, millions of Christians proclaiming the will of God, the word of God, taking authority over the evil one who taken nations captive. By words, words filled with authority, and those communism fell. China is becoming the largest Christian nation in the earth. South Korea, was a nation that was bound up in false gods, but now it's one of the most Christianized Asian nations in the world. Why? Because of the prayers, because of authoritative praying. Even what's happened in Brazoria County, with the great economic growth, I believe it happened because of prayers. A proclamation. Friend, you look at our county compared to other counties in the nation, even in Texas. We are blessed. We are doubly, triply, quadruply blessed. And why? I believe it's because of words. People praying and believing, standing in authority with God, proclaiming His will here in Brazoria County, on earth as it is in heaven, taking that authority, knowing their position. See, here's the deal. Many of us, we just view God, He's just kind of like a benevolent police officer. That's what God's like. He's like Andy Taylor, you know, from Andy Griffith's show. I love the Andy Griffith show. Some people are like, what? Well, I don't even know what that is. But anyway, Andy Taylor, just this benevolent kind of policeman, sheriff or whatever, who's just good-natured, and he keeps people from doing wrong and maybe correct a person here or there. And if you call upon him, he's going to come your way. But more or less, just play it safe, okay? You take care of your business and play it safe. That's the way a whole lot of us have our view of God. He loves us. He's going to take care of us. He's going to correct me if I do wrong. If I yell and I need help, He's going to show up. But friend, He's more than that. He is a king with a kingdom, and we are His children, that He's given us authority here on earth to bring His kingdom here to earth through our words, through our actions. He hasn't left us alone. We're not passive observers. We need to know our authority, right? Say it with me. Know your authority. Amen? Amen. Know your authority. Exercise your authority and know your position. Now to the next point, which I really want to spend more time on. This one, proclaiming God's will. So, you know your position. I'm a child. You exercise your authority. I have power over the evil one. He's given me power here in this life. So the last thing is this. And there are several sub-points, and I'll give them to you. Proclaim His will. Okay, here it is. Cup your hands like this, like that. You got it? Like that. Proclaim His will. Say that with me. Proclaim His will. Amen. I'm getting these kids involved over here. All right, got it? That's good. We know our position. We exercise our authority. We proclaim His will. Let me give you the sub-points. If you're taking notes, there are several sub-points. First one is this. Know His will as revealed in the Word. Know His will as revealed in the Word. Secondly, a second subpoint, have faith. Have faith in those words. Or you can put /, be fully persuaded. Be fully persuaded. Third point is obey those words. And the last point is state it out loud. State it out loud. So let's look at the first subpoint. Proclaim His will. The first subpoint is know His will as revealed in His Word. What does 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15 say? Many of you know it. And we are confident that He hears us whenever we ask for anything that is in accordance with His will or anything that pleases Him. And since we know He hears us when we make our request, we also know that He will give us what we ask for. I can ask anything that is in accordance with His will, and His response to me is what? Yes. Yes. So what is in accordance with His will? What is written here. Amen? This is in accordance with His will. The written Word and also the living Word. What did Jesus do? How did Jesus live? Those things are in accordance with His will. But here's the kicker. You got to know His will. Which means what? You got to know His will. You got to know His Word. You cannot go beyond your knowledge of God's Word when you're praying His will. When you proclaim His will, you got to be proclaiming His Word, either in precept, that is exactly what it states, or in principle, what is implied. What was lived out by Jesus, what was spoken by Jesus. You proclaim His will. That's what changes things. When we proclaim His will, it begins to change the atmosphere. What does the Word say about this issue in my life? What does the Word say about this problem within our community? What does the Word say about this major issue that's happening within our nation? Whatever the Word says, that's what I'm going to proclaim. I'm going to proclaim that. And so we proclaim His will by proclaiming His word. John 15, verses 7 and 8 says this, "But if you remain in me," say that with me, "but if you remain in me, and my words remain in you," say that with me, "and my words remain in you." Do you catch that? Jesus speaking. Jesus is saying this. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted." Woo! That's a big one, isn't it? He'll answer it. He's saying you can ask for anything. If you remain in me, and that's that obedience dimension. Okay, I'm following the Lord. I'm living a righteous life. I'm pursuing God. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, okay? I'm living, as I preached on several months ago, I'm living a holy, holy life, a life devoted to Christ, completely committed to Him. I'm remaining in Him, but then the other part is His words do what? His words, what? They remain in me. I got to know His words, right? I mean, that's implied. He says, "You remain in me, and my words remain in you." Then you can ask, and therefore you're going to ask whatever is in accordance with my will, and I'm going to say yes to it. It will be granted to you. You don't need to, listen, I'm going to say something that may step on some toes. It's okay, here it goes. You need to stay away as much as you can from this prayer that goes this way. God, if it be your will. God, if it be your will. And then whatever it is you pray. You need to stay away from that as much as possible. I realize occasionally you may get there. I'm not sure. Here's what you need to know: what God's will is, and then begin praying that. Because when you start praying, "Lord, if it's your will," that is almost a non-faith prayer. That's like, "God, I don't expect you to do anything. If you do something, it'll surprise me. But if you don't, I'll be okay." It's kind of a cover your tracks prayer for many of us. I'm going to make sure that if, you know, I'm not going to get too upset if something doesn't happen. I'm not going to bank on this too much. Listen, this is where you ask, you seek, you knock. You seek first His kingdom. You ask for wisdom. You knock. You go to other people and say, "What do you think God's will is concerning this and that," or whatever it may be. And then you pray out His will. Now, I realize there are times you're like, "Oh, I'm just not sure. I don't know." And you do ask, "Lord, please." But I would say, "Lord," you just pray this way, "Lord, please show me what your will is. Give me wisdom." And then when He gives you that wisdom, that peace, that's when you begin proclaiming His will. You don't need to center your prayers that way. I talked about this. You cannot go beyond your knowledge of God's words. What happens sometimes is when a person receives prayer. Here's what happens. Here's what I've seen happen. A person gets prayer from another. Okay, it may happen here, may happen wherever, over the phone, whatever. And say a person is asking you for prayer for a physical thing or something, and they need peace in their life. And so you pray. And after they leave, they talk. They say, "Man, I feel perfect peace. I feel great. Everything seems to be going great with my life right now." Then about 2 or 3 days later, a week later, they come. You talk to them. They say, "Man, I just don't have any peace anymore. I got unsettled again." What happened? What happened? There's a lot of things that could have happened. It could have been the evil one came and snatched that away from them, you know? It's where they should have taken. But I'll tell you, a lot of it is, what I've seen, is that the person receiving prayer was depending upon the person's faith who prayed for them. And that person who was praying for them, who was grounded in the Word, was praying the will of God over them. And so that person receiving prayer had built their faith upon that person's faith rather than their own faith. Friend, you need to build yourself up in the Lord. Yes, have other people pray for you, but don't depend upon their faith to sustain your faith. Your faith must be founded upon the Word. Because the wind's going to blow, amen? And the rain's going to come, amen? And what's going to happen? You're either going to stand or you're going to fall. That's Matthew chapter 7. The hard times will come. Second thing, or second sub-point under proclaiming His will, is you need to be fully persuaded. Say that with me. Be fully persuaded. And I'm just saying that when you proclaim His words, you need to have faith. Faith means I'm fully persuaded. 2 Corinthians 5:7. What does it say? 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by what? Faith and not by sight. But most of us, we invert that. We walk by sight and not by faith. Too many of us are proclaiming sight when we pray. I got a son out in California, and it's hard. He's trying to get into the music industry out there, do film scoring, whatever. It's hard. He's barely able to make it. In fact, he's barely able to make it, okay? I'll just leave it at that. And as a parent, we see the struggle, and we wonder, and we think, oh. And so here's how I could pray. Oh, Lord, you know what Aaron's going through. It's my son, Aaron. Aaron, Lord, he needs you. God, would you show up today and do something strong in his life? Oh, God, please help him. Let him know he's loved. I could pray that way. I don't pray that way. Here's how I pray. Lord, I thank you that Aaron's exactly where he needs to be. You have equipped him. You've imparted gifts to him. He has been a good steward of those gifts that you've given him. He's developed those gifts. And Lord, I thank you that you are going to provide him opportunities. Things are coming his way. Lord, I thank you. You have good plans to prosper him. Holy Spirit, convict him where he's out of alignment with your will, with the will of the Father. Getting back into alignment, let me be at the center of your will. That's how I pray for my son. I don't pray this, oh, whiny, oh, God, would you? That is a sight prayer. Quit praying by sight. See, I'm telling you, a whole lot of us, that's what we do when we pray for relationships. When we pray for issues in our life. When we pray for our nation, we pray sight prayers. Oh, Lord, look how awful things are. Oh, God, you see how bad this is. He sees it. We need to confess our part. God, I'm sorry I've been a part of that. Please forgive me of my sins, but I thank you. I know what your will is for this nation. Your will for this nation is that return to you. Is that people come to faith in you, and I thank you, Lord, that that is happening. Let me tell you, here's an easy one. Here's a prayer people, over the years, people have asked me whether or not they should pray, and that is, should I have a spouse? This is easy prayer. Has God put that desire in your heart? Well, yeah, it's in my heart. Then you pray, Lord, I thank you. You've given me this desire in my heart, and I thank you that you've got a mate out there for me. There's someone for me. I've had people over the years. I don't know if I should get married or not get married. Is the desire in your heart to get married? Is that the desire? Well, yeah. Well, then, okay. Then you pray it out. Don't pray the side prayer. God, there's no one. I'm here. I'm lonely. It's never going to get any better. Whatever it may be. You say, Lord, thank you. You put this desire in my heart. You're bringing the person. You see, that is you are praying by faith and not by sight. That's the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 prayer. You must stop speaking sight over people. You must stop speaking sight over relationships. Oh, God, we've got an awful relationship. It's not going to get any better. Would you change that person? No, you ought to say, Lord, I thank you that you're changing my spouse. You're praying the will of God over that person. Is what you're proclaiming his will. It's not by sight. You're proclaiming by faith. Here's what some people say. Well, you know, I just say it like I see it. And guess what? You keep saying like you see it, and you're going to keep getting what you see. You need to say it like God sees it. Let me say that again. I need to hear an amen after it. You need to say it like God sees it. I'm telling you, a whole lot of people, that's why we pray over this nation. We pray what we see. Maybe the reason... I'm stepping on my toes here. Maybe the reason our nation's in the mess that it's in is because Christians have been praying too long what they see rather than what God sees and what God desires. We just talk about how awful things are and how terrible things are. And yeah, anybody can see that. Anybody can pray that. Why don't we pray what God sees? Hebrews chapter 11. This is good, amen? This is good stuff. I like this. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Y'all know it. Again, these are not verses that are unfamiliar with most, but Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Faith is a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Well, what do we hope for? What we need to be hoping for is this. I am fully persuaded that what God says is right, what God says is His will, is actually going to happen. That's what faith is. I'm fully persuaded what God says is His will is actually going to happen. What we hope for is God's will is revealed in both the written word and the living word. They are promises we proclaim with our lips. So with my wife, with the issues she goes through, we proclaim His will over her. Lord, Your will is she be healed. And in Your sight, she is healed in Jesus' name. She is restored. She is walking in health. The dopamine is being produced. Everything is coming into alignment with Your will. We thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I am walking by faith and not by sight. I am confident of what I hope for, because what I hope for is revealed here in this word. And by this word says, by His stripes she's healed. So that's what I pray. Too many of us, we got bungee cord unbelief. You know what bungee cord unbelief is? It's the bungee cord of unbelief. It attaches right here. And we're walking out in faith, and we're just like, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. And we're saying our prayers, and we're believing, and all of a sudden we get a little resistance. Things don't begin. The answer doesn't come as fast as we think, whatever. Then a little bit of hardship comes our way, and then suddenly, boing, we're way back where we started. We started out in faith, and then suddenly we find ourselves way back where this thing started, this bungee cord of unbelief. I'm telling you, you got to cut that cord. And that cord may be attached to unanswered prayers, to trauma, to woundedness, to whatever, bad relationships. But it's something the devil just takes it and he goes, no, you're not coming back. Friend, you got to cut that cord and say, I'm not going to walk in that. I'm not going to walk in that unbelief. I'm going to walk in what the word says. Amen. The third thing I talk about is obey Him, remain in Him. That's John 15, verse 7. And then let me get to the last one. That is, you need to state it out loud and have others in agreement with you. This is where the company of two or three people have two or three in agreement with you. You state it out loud. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 25 says, Jesus says, have faith in God. That is, be fully persuaded in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea. And it will happen. And this, of course, the context was the day before, or just a day or two before, Jesus cursed a fig tree that wasn't producing figs. They walk by it. It's now dead. And Jesus then says these words. You can say to the mountain, may you be lifted up and be thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. And then he goes on, and this is important. He says, but when you're praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your heavenly Father will forgive your sins too. And that's that whole obedience thing. I need to be living a righteous life. Fully committed to Him. But you need to state it out loud. Say that with me. State it out loud. We proclaim with our words. We proclaim it with our words. And in Matthew 18:18, He says, look, where two or three are gathered in My name, if two or three witnesses come together, you can ask for anything and I'll answer. That's why it's important. It not just be you by yourself, but you get two or three other faith-filled people standing with you in agreement for whatever it is. And He says, I'll hear that prayer. We proclaim it with our words. I want to remind you of Matthew chapter 16, verses, I believe it's 18 and 19, where Jesus says to Peter, I've given you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you loose on earth will be what? Will be loosed in heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be what? Will be bound in heaven. The Amplified gets it best, though. It says this, whatever you have loosed on earth will already have been loosed in heaven, and whatever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. In other words, heaven waiting for you to proclaim heaven on earth. Loose it on earth. It's already been loosed there. It's already been bound there. Bind it here. Loose the promises of God. Bind the evil one. Can I hear an amen? Loose it. What did Jesus gave us the example. What did he loose? He loosed truth, salvation, peace, hope, wisdom, joy, healing, whatever. He loosed those things. And what did he bind? He bound the devil. He bound darkness. We are to do the same things. The three things, faith-filled words. First one, point down to the cushion. What is it? Know your position, right? Second one is what? Exercise your authority. And the last one is what? Proclaim. Proclaim his word as found, as revealed in his, proclaim his will as found in his word. I want you to stand with me right now, and Doug, if you'd come forward. We're going to have a little bit of an invitation here. There's some of you, for too long, you've been proclaiming things by sight. Sight prayers. And today, you need to make a commitment. Lord, I'm going to commit myself to begin proclaiming faith prayers. It's easy to proclaim a sight prayer, but today I'm going to begin. I want you to begin convicting me where I've been praying sight prayers and not faith prayers. That may be one way. You can come down, express that here. You don't have to talk to me, just talk to the Lord about that. There may be others of you, you need to come down front. Jeff, would you come on down front with me? You need to stand in agreement with another person or two. We're going to be here. You say, I've got an issue, and I want y'all to stand in agreement with me. We're two or three are gathered together. We're two or three agree on anything. I will hear that prayer. You need a witness. So talk to Jeff. Talk to me. And there may be others of you here that you just need to, as an individual or as a couple, come and say, or as family, and say, you know what? We're going to come into agreement with God today, right here, down at this altar. We're going to come into agreement with God about whatever the issue is. And it may be something that's heavy on your life. It may be a person in your life or a child that you've been praying for. It's been far away. You're going to come down front. You're going to say, okay, here at this altar, we're going to come into agreement and begin proclaiming faith prayers and not sight prayers. I'm going to give you about a minute or two, filling the presence of the Holy Spirit. You come forward, talk to me, talk to Jeff, just talk to God, whatever. We're going to keep the altar open. I want to pray this. This will be kind of a dismissal prayer benediction, okay? And so after I pray, we'll be dismissed. If you want to come to the altar afterwards, I'll be available to pray with you if you so desire. Just open your hands up to the Lord right now. Would you repeat this after me? Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. You have said that what comes out of my mouth begins in my heart. And I want my heart to reflect your heart. And therefore my words to reflect your words. In Jesus' name, let me speak this over you. And Father, as you've heard this confession today, make it so in every area of our lives. Father, I don't want Willow Trot Baptist Church to be known as a church that just simply states what is seen. We want to be known as a church that states things as you see them. We want to walk by faith. And we want the words of our mouth to be words of faith that reveal your will as seen in your word. So, oh Father, today I ask that you put a guard on all of our lips. And when we begin proclaiming by sight, let there be a quick check in our spirit. And Father, I pray that everyone here will become more grounded in the word and the promises of God and proclaim them with more confidence and more authority than they ever have. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, before I dismiss you, if you have promises that you are praying out now before the Lord, what I'd like for you to do, I'd like for you, those promises that God's given you that are found in His Word, I'd like for you to email those to me, because next week, that's what I'm preaching on, the promises of God. So help me out that way. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.